How do you do? Chains of gold and silver display our heirlooms, gifts of love. But chains of fear held the woman in this story to an abusive husband, the man who had sworn to love and protect her. While he betrayed and trampled her trust, she was rescued by someone more powerful, and her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Mrs. Miller, if you hadn't come to the emergency room, you might have died. You have a severe pelvic infection. Your fallopian tubes are very abscessed.
Is that why I haven't been able to get pregnant?
You have an STD, most likely caused by multiple partners.
But I'm married, and I haven't...
If we can't cure this infection, we may have to operate to remove your fallopian tubes or even do a complete hysterectomy.
Then I couldn't have any children. I'm only 25.
No, please understand, Mrs. Miller, this would be a life-saving procedure.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Hope is the last refuge of homeless people. They cling to the hope of improving their precarious situation. Pacific Garden Mission is the Hope Improvement Center of Chicago, where people living on the streets find shelter, a place to sleep, nourishing meals, and fresh clothing, all without charge thanks to caring friends who send financial gifts. Resident guests even receive medical and dental care in the Mission Clinic. But above all, Mission guests find real hope at the old lighthouse. Hear instruction and be wise is something they learn from pastors and counselors, and those who have ears to hear find new life. Parental guidance is suggested due to some of the physical abuse dramatized in this true testimony of Jeanette Town. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3202 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, where's your worthless little paycheck?
I don't have one yet, Nick. I was in the hospital.
Lying piece of trash. Where's the money?
I don't have any.
Oh, what's the use? You're used up anyway. You can't even have a baby. What a worthless person you turned out to be. Hey, you try to leave, I'll hunt you down and kill you. You understand? They'll never find the pieces, Jeanette.
Last week, we heard how the woman in our story stayed with her brutal husband out of fear for herself and her stepdaughter. This is the story of how she overcame her fear. The conclusion of Jeanette Towne's true testimony right now on Unshackled.
I knew I had to get away from my husband, Nick, before he killed me. My parents were still living in Europe, and I was too ashamed to call my brothers. For several years, I'd been putting small amounts of money into a secret savings account, money saved for my tips as a waitress. I had learned basic computer skills in a class at church, a class taught by an old friend from parochial school. Nick beat me severely when he discovered our friendship. After every beating, Nick tried to make amends.
Wifer, you know this was all your fault, don't you? I never meant to hurt you.
All I want is a good marriage.
Let's give it a shot. I don't want to live without you. And Laura needs a father and a mother. Come on, let's have a baby and make a go of it, huh? Hey, here's a present for you.
Oh, it's the most beautiful diamond I've ever seen.
I'll never hurt you again, Jeanette. I'm giving up drugs, I swear. I have a new construction job in San Jose. I'm going to be a superintendent.
Well, I have to quit my job at the coffee shop, but I heard about a job in San Jose. You think I could put in an application?
Well, we're going to buy a house, and let's move in first, and then we'll talk about it, huh?
We moved into a cheap motel in San Jose, and Nick started his new job. I couldn't put my stepdaughter, Laura, in kindergarten until we moved into our new house, but Nick kept stalling. Night after night, he would go out alone and return late, smelling of alcohol and perfume. One night, he came wild-eyed through the door and locked himself in the bathroom for 3 hours. I knew he was on drugs again.
Turn off the lights and the TV. They're after me.
Who's after you?
They're after me, I tell you. I just know they are.
Who's out there, Nick? Are you in trouble?
Shh! The Russians! Get down. Stay away from the window. They're coming after me.
He was hallucinating, freebasing cocaine again. But the next day, he slept late and announced that we were going to see our new house. A friend had lent Nick the down payment for the house. Nick and that friend had hatched a scheme to cheat an insurance company, then split the cash. I cringed inside, horrified at the man I had married. After we moved into our house, I asked Nick if I could apply for a computer job that was only a few blocks away. He agreed, so I walked to the interview, taking my stepdaughter, who had not yet started kindergarten. I was desperate to get the job.
Well, Jeanette, although you have excellent computer skills, you don't really have a proven sales record.
I want to thank you for taking the time to meet with me today. I am certain that you have excellent candidates, but I am equally confident that I would be the very best choice of candidate you could hire. I'm a quick learner. Give me a month, and if after a month I don't exceed your expectations, we can part friends. What is the expected start date?
All right. You can start next Monday.
Landing that job as a full-time salesman was fantastic. I had a salary. Now all I had to do was keep Nick happy. His work in construction being sporadic, he was glad to have my paycheck, which quickly vanished in the bank account. I learned to cash my check and hang on to the money so I could pay bills and buy groceries. One night, while Nick was loaded on drugs, he confessed to more evil.
I don't know. By now, he's probably dead.
Who's dead?
My partner. He wanted me to dump you and live with him. He was in love with me. I taught him how to use coke, and I don't know, I guess he got addicted. I like to stay up all night, you know what I mean? Anyway, he got really depressed, so I told him how to use a shotgun and pull the trigger with his toe.
Terrified by his confession, I portrayed no emotion, but realized that he wouldn't hesitate to kill me if I tried to leave him. Not long after that, we were evicted from our house because Nick had not made the payments. We began living with another couple. Then came a terrible pain in my abdomen. Nick literally dumped me at the emergency room and left. I thought it was appendicitis, but after two surgeries, the doctor told me the bad news.
The antibiotics are not impacting the infection. Your temperature spiked at 106 yesterday, and that can cause brain damage. So we're going to remove your fallopian tubes.
Oh, then I'll never be able to have a baby.
And we'll try to save your uterus and your ovaries. There are new fertility procedures that allow women to conceive without fallopian tubes. Adoption is another option.
When I was released, I returned to the house that we shared with Nick's friends. I was weak after my surgery, but finally returned to work. Nick demanded my paycheck and then hit me so hard, I fell across the bed. A month later, when I went out with girlfriends, he accused me of infidelity and held a knife up to my throat. His friend's wife, who was in the room, just walked away, and Nick finally relented. I'd been on the job for 2 years when the company laid off 3/4 of the staff, including me. Nick didn't mind. He had a new job, and we moved into our own rental home. Then he was fired, and we moved into a motel. I landed a new computer sales job with a Fortune 500 company. My job paid salary and benefits, and my sales records were phenomenal. My secret savings account grew, and so did Nick's drug addiction. One night, Nick callously killed his daughter's kitten as she screamed in shock. Then he stormed out the door. I was in so much denial, I couldn't even talk about it as I drove Laura to school. Days later, when Nick returned, he begged us to be a family again, and I stayed to protect Laura. Then one day at work, I received a phone call that was a lifeline.
Jaffra, Jeanette, is that really you?
Daddy! Daddy, it's really you! Mm-hmm. You're home! Oh, I've missed you so terribly!
Oh, little girl, your mother and I want to come up and see you. See how you're doing. When is a good time to visit?
Well, Daddy, we don't have a house right now, and we're looking for a place.
Oh, listen, Jeannie, I can come up and help you look. You're 26 now, and Nick makes good money, your brother said. It's time you bought a house.
Daddy, our credit's not the best.
Oh, little girl, I'm coming up and we can look for a place to buy. Your mother and I have excellent credit as long as you and Nick are willing to work hard, huh?
I didn't tell my father about Nick's abusing me. Dad spent several weekends helping us look for an affordable house. Nick wanted a large custom house, but Daddy steered us to an affordable one in Modesto. My father made a modest down payment, and he laid out the terms on the drive home.
Now, the house will be in my name until you establish good credit. You have 6 weeks to save up money for your share of the down payment at escrow. You will make the monthly payments into a secure bank account and repay me monthly and on time. After several years, the house can go into your name.
Hmm? You think we were kids?
My father was a first-generation Italian who had come to the U.S., served in the Navy, and then gotten a college degree. He worked hard, invested wisely, and he was right. Still, I didn't confide in him about my bad marriage. I worked hard and saved money for the down payment, hiding the cash from Nick, who often searched everywhere for money to buy drugs. We moved into our new home, and Nick soon picked up a girlfriend from a nearby biker bar. His indiscretions were the source of my pelvic infections, but life was peaceful during his absence. I began taking classes in college to finish my degree. I also took a test for a sales job with a Fortune 500 company and was hired. The company sent me to Cincinnati for 2 weeks of training. When I came home, Nick's girlfriend was living in our house, and there was a biker party in our backyard. Drug paraphernalia littered the living room. Nick grabbed my arm.
Hey, loosen up for a change, huh? Come on, do a line of coke, have a beer.
Oh, no thanks, babe. I'm really tired.
Hey, you better watch it, you piece of garbage. You do one thing to mess up my party, like call the cops, and this will be your last day. They'll never find the pieces.
I moved into our guest bedroom, and late that night when the party ended, Nick took his girlfriend back to our bedroom. His betrayal was complete. The next day, a colleague and I drove to a job site to make a quote, and on the way back, he told me about his happy marriage. I couldn't quell the tears. He pulled off the road.
What's wrong, Jeanette?
I can't.
Is your husband mean to you? Does he hurt you? Oh, listen, Jeanette, no man should ever hurt a gal, no matter what. A man should love and cherish his wife. No woman should stay with a man who hurts her.
That was the first time anyone had verbalized the abuse I endured, and I couldn't stop crying. The rest of the week, I left for work early to avoid Nick and his girlfriend. But one night, he crashed into my room, beat me, and violated me. When he left, I cried out to God. Lord, if you're up there, please hear my prayers. I'm ready to go home. I can't take another day here. Please take me home and protect Laura.
In a moment, we'll hear how Jeanette's prayer was answered. Do you know someone who is barely hanging on, struggling with difficulties? It's that kind of world, and we know the answer for everyone. With God, all things are possible. And that's the message of these unshackled testimonies, many of which are published in booklet form. And you can have a sample, free for the asking. Just write and tell us which subject is of interest. You can see the list of all 41 of these booklets in our Ministry Resources catalog, which is also free. Or you can go to our website, www.unshackled.org, and order a free booklet. Each booklet tells an unshackled story just as it was dramatized, with scripture verses and a sample prayer, so that anyone can be saved. What a great way to evangelize the lost! To get your free Unshackled booklet, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
In the morning, I discovered that Nick had taken my purse into his bedroom. So I tiptoed in, but accidentally bumped a cupboard door, waking him. He jumped out of bed, yelling profanities at me, grabbed a hammer lying nearby and stood over me. He raised the hammer to strike.
I'll kill you!
Go ahead! Go ahead and do it! Just kill me, Nick! Today, I know something. I know I'm not afraid of you anymore. You have no power over me because I'd rather be dead than live one more day with you. Like a puzzled child, he backed away, dropped the hammer, and I left the house without looking back. That day, I knew that God would help me. In the early afternoon, I went back and scooped up all my clothes while the burglar alarm blasted because Nick had changed the code on the alarm. A co-worker took me in that night, and then I rented a room from a classmate. A few weeks later, I spent several weeks with my parents in Lake Tahoe, where I told them everything.
Oh, we've been very worried about you, Jeannie.
You can't imagine what it's been like. Broken dishes, screaming, holes in the walls. Oh. I kept no sharp knives in the house, but in the end, he threatened to use a hammer.
Oh.
I kept hoping and praying he would change, but now I know he won't change.
So you filed for divorce?
Yes. I'll never go back. I should have listened to you and Mom at the beginning.
What about the child?
Laura?
Hmm?
She's 11 now. I have no legal right to her.
But you have a lawyer.
Yes. Nick threatened to kill me, and you. That's why I stayed with him so long.
Listen, I'll go with you to court, and we'll get him out of the house. As long as I'm alive, he'll never lay a hand on you again.
Nick whispered death threats in court every chance he could. But my father stood by me and moved into the house to protect me until I found a housemate. More than a year later, I worked our booth at a trade show and met Sam, who was the president of a local manufacturing company. A few weeks later, he called and we began dating.
From what you've told me, Jeanette, God's mercy was with you during your marriage.
Well, I didn't start going to church until the past couple of years, but I prayed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem as if God heard my prayers, but I guess he did.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
That's beautiful.
Lamentations chapter 3. The prophet Jeremiah was very abused.
I knew as soon as I saw you that there was something different about you.
You know, there's a new church in town with a special speaker this Friday night. Would you like to go with me?
I wasn't prepared for what I experienced that Friday. The worship and praise songs filled the cracks in my heart, preparing me for the pastor's words. The more he spoke, the more I knew I was destined to be there at that moment.
God has a wonderful plan for your life. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants you to live your life for him. Jesus gave his life for you, and now he's calling you. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus has called you. He knew you would be in the service tonight. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Think about that. In spite of all you've done and said and thought, God loves you and wants you to be saved so you can go to heaven. Repent of your sins and come to Him today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, if you want to live your life for Jesus, lift up your hand now.
Broken in repentance and gratitude, tears flowing, I raised my hand and felt the love of Jesus cleansing and renewing me, healing the years of abuse that filled my thoughts. All those frightening nights, all those desperate days, through all those years, God was there. He had protected me, and now He wanted me to live my life for Him. Yes, Lord, Jesus, I want You to come into my life. I will serve You from this day forward. I want to follow You all the days of my life. Sam gave me a Bible with my name inscribed in gold on the front. He said, "This is the only book that will read you." I devoured the scriptures. The following year on Easter Sunday, Sam asked me to marry him.
Something's holding you back, Jeanette. What is it?
Sam, I love you. But you know about my surgery. I will never be able to give you a child. You've never had children, and if we get married, you may never have a child of your own. Please don't say anything now, but think about it.
I love you, Jeanette. We were meant to be together. We can always adopt children. So what do you say? Will you marry me?
Oh, yes! Yes, yes, Sam, I'll marry you. I'll love you till the day I die. Our wedding in 1990 was bittersweet. I still miss Laura and wondered if she was safe. But Sam was a wonderful husband. We sought help from a fertility specialist in San Francisco, and 2 years later, the test came back positive. We were expecting. I called my mother to tell her the good news, the miracle God brought to us. Soon after that came even better news.
Twins? We're expecting twins?
The ultrasound is unmistakable.
God's given us a boy and a girl, Jeanette.
Well, it's too soon to know the sex of the baby, Sam.
I just know it. A boy and a girl.
Well, we can name the boy after you, Samuel.
And we'll think of a good name for the girl.
Well, I always felt like Hannah, barren, unable to conceive.
But the Lord blessed you with two because He is faithful.
Sam was right. Our twins were male and female. Having babies reminded me so much of Laura, and I mourned her loss. When the twins were nearly 2 years old, a neighbor from the past unexpectedly called me.
Jeanette, I am so glad I found you. Since you left the old neighborhood, things have been bad for poor Laura.
Oh, she needs me.
I saw her father beat her up and yell at her. He threw her out on the street. So I have her with me at church. But I can't keep her here. I'm afraid of her father finding out I have her and hurting me. Can you please come and get her until we can find her mother?
But Mrs. Lucas, I'm married now. I have twins and a wonderful life.
I'm so sorry to drag you into all of this, but I don't know where to turn.
Well, I haven't seen or heard from Laura in over 5 years. If her father found me, he'd kill me and my babies. I don't know what to do.
Oh, please.
I'll call my husband at work and see what he says. I'll call you right back.
Oh, thank you.
Go pick her up, Jeanette. Laura's hurting and she needs us now.
I don't want to expose our family to harm.
God will protect our family. Laura's your daughter and she's welcome in our home.
Thank you, Sam. I'll find Laura and hopefully she'll come home with me. I reached the old church and heard the sound of Laura's voice. I followed the sound to a classroom. She was on the phone talking to someone. I walked into the classroom where she sat with her back to me.
But Mom, why can't I stay with you? Dad is out of work again. Yes, I know I've missed school, but we've moved a lot. Please, Mom, please let me stay with you. I won't be any trouble. I get good grades. My dad is hurting me again. He beat me up. I was all bruised. He tore up my clothes and my room. Please, Mom.
Laura?
Mama, Laura, I love you. Oh, this is such a miracle, my precious baby. I want you. I will never let you out of my life.
Laura stayed with us, completing her school term, and we took her to church, where she professed her faith in Christ as her Savior. Not long after that, the pastor talked about the rock we dragged around by not forgiving others for their wrongdoing. That was a good sermon, wasn't it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes. I thought about Dad and the way he abused us.
He was a monster. But when I looked at him through the eyes of Jesus, I saw a hurt little boy.
Really?
His father beat him and the whole family. His father was so violent, he beat Nick's older brother to death.
Oh, how awful.
I asked the Lord to help me forgive Nick, and a huge weight lifted off me. I'm no longer afraid of him.
At least Dad brought you into my life, Mama.
You were the best part of those years, Laura, and no one can take that away from us. Four years into our marriage, Sam and I adopted two children, making our family complete. But trying to work outside the home was too much, so I formed a computer consulting company that I could run from home. My company has done so well that I've hired employees. I went from being a prisoner to being president of a thriving business, from being a doormat to being a doorway for others. And when the Lord opens doors for ministry, I speak at women's groups to help them break free. It's amazing what God can do.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Are you on God's side, listening friend? There is no in between. He that is not with me is against me, Jesus said. But Jesus also said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You can come to Jesus Christ right where you are by asking him to forgive your sin and to come into your life and save you. There are no special words because God looks on the heart. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3202. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter brightens our day. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.